clips. Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lib, Vaughn Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rev City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best, the Chemist Music Group.
Yes, sir. Hope everybody's having a good week so far. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. We got the usual suspects for two shows in a row. I know you guys can't believe it. I can't either. See, Rush, how's it going, man?
It's a beautiful day here in Detroit, just waiting on some more rain to come through. How about yourself?
Stop waiting on the rain and water your own grass, man.
I got people that do that for me, so.
T-Will, man, what'd it do?
Man, I can't call it fine. Happy to be back on for another episode, big fella.
Yeah, we definitely have a good one today. Football season is coming up shortly. We can all smell it in the air, so we got a lot of football we're going to discuss today. We're going to talk about some of the coaching changes that occurred this offseason in the NFL and the impact that they will have on their teams right away, because it's not like college, like, oh, you get a couple years to try to fix things. It's, you better get it done right away. So we want to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about Johnny Football, the quarterback at Texas A&M. As you all know, he won the Heisman last year. Statistically, he had a great year. But he's been in the news a lot. So we want to discuss, you know, will that affect his play on the field? And we want to talk about the college football teams, you know, who's our sleeper and, you know, who's the teams to look out for. But we're going to start this show and we're going to talk about the college football coaches that are right now on the hot seat before the season even starts. So, C. Rush, we're going to start with you on this one. And let's talk about Mack Brown. It seems like he's been at Texas forever. They haven't won a championship in a while, but he's making $5.4 million. He's constantly bringing in a top five recruiting class. And Texas football is religion. So is this his last year there, C. Rush, if he doesn't win a BCS game or what?
Well, he better win the Big 12 with the way it's constructed right now. You know, Texas has been one of the greatest football powerhouses ever. And now you have lowly old TCU. They're going into the season, they're ranked higher than them, even though the polls haven't officially came out, but the buzz is more so around them. It's a buzz around Baylor. You don't hear that same buzz around Texas like we're accustomed to, you know. The past couple years, like 2010, he was under 500, 5-7. Then 8-5, 9-4 last year. That's not getting it done at Texas, where you can basically handpick your recruits. Kids grow up playing in front of 20,000 people in high school in Texas. So, yes, they want to go play at Texas. So when you have your choice of kids who you can pick and choose wherever you want to, wherever, across the whole state of Texas, you got to get it done. And right now, it has to be pressure upon him. Maybe it's from boosters or from whoever that he got to turn this around. Granted, they just got a brand new TV deal that they're 2 years in, so money is not the issue. Winning is the issue now. So, you know, we heard rumblings about it last year, and where there's smoke, there's fire. So he has to find some way to win the Big 12. That's the bare minimum. You have to beat your rivals. You got to beat Oklahoma and stop getting embarrassed by them. You got to beat TCU. You can't be the third best team in the state of Texas, in my opinion, and still keep your job at a prestigious school like Texas. So it's a lot of pressure on him. If that seat wasn't hot last year, it's the temperature's very hot right now.
Right. I mean, it's very hot. That seat is hot. But, T-Will, before you get into your spiel about Mack Brown, I just want you to answer this question for our listeners. why is he still there?
Well, we all know, Fine. The one thing that people say rule the world is money. And every year, Texas football and Texas athletics are number one in the country in bringing in money and that revenue, Fine. So, of course, year in and year out, Texas is up there bringing in the money. So it's tough to get rid of an icon. People have to understand, Mac Brown is an icon. You know, he isn't just a football coach. You know, when he leaves the University of Texas, there will be a statue of him outside of that stadium. You know, and just their recent, you know, unsuccessfulness, Shane hit it right on the head. You know, Mac Brown has his hand picks of recruits coming out of Texas. And when you think of the state of Texas, you think of University of Texas football. The last two seasons, they had two Heisman Trophy winners. They came out of the state of Texas. Okay, last year was Johnny Manziel out of Texas A&M, and the year before was RG3 out of Baylor. And guess what? University of Texas didn't even give Johnny Manziel an offer. They didn't even offer him a scholarship. So now the boosters are seeing this like, okay, is it our recruiting? Are we going after the wrong guys here? You know, and realistically, that's unacceptable. And the boosters, I'm telling you, they take exception to that. Two quarterbacks winning the Heisman Trophy, and neither one were from the University of Texas.
Yeah, T. Will, I know, as they say, you know, money make this world go round. And I get all that, though, T. Will. But if you're making $5.4 million, I mean, shouldn't you have a BCS, you know, a BCS bowl ring every other year at least, though?
Yes, and I would think that's should be the expectation. Realistically, he's making more money than NFL coaches, NFL head coaches. So, yes, the expectation should be higher for him. But compared to what Texas brings in when it comes to revenue each and every season, Fine, those are pennies, $5.4 million. Those are pennies. You know, to be honest with you, he probably makes almost maybe even half of that on the side, you know, just through boosters and everything else. So I think it really comes down to money. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you know, you have alumni, you have boosters and things like that, and you have to win ball games.
Now, see, Rush, I want you to put on that AD snapback for me here and put a Longhorn symbol on it. And T-Wheel brings up a good point. They bring in a lot of money. Absolutely. But if you're the AD, don't you say, hey, we're Texas. I don't care if it's Mac Brown or Joe Doakes coaching this team. We're still going to bring in money, so we need to win more games.
Yeah, that's what you say is true. But like T. Will said, he is an icon. They are going to construct a statue, you know. But now, you know, the way I'm not saying he's old as like the way they ran Bobby Bowden out of town, or coaches of that stature. But it's if they can do it to Bobby Bowden, what makes Mac Brown immune to it? You know, when is it going to be unacceptable to be average? You know, so he's feeling pressure from those same boosters. And like T. Will said and myself said, they have that luxurious Longhorn network. So they're not hurting for money. Now it has to come down to a pride thing to whereas, hey, I don't want to lose. I can't let RG3 go to another school. I can't let Matthew Stafford get out of here and go to Georgia. I can't let these quarterbacks leave. You know, so they gotta figure it out. So the AD is obviously upset because we're hearing stuff. You know, and like I said, where smoke is fire. So this is a show and prove year. That the last championship was in 2005. So that was almost going on 10 years ago.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I agree with both of you guys. He's an icon. He brings in a lot of money. But my problem that I'm having with this is I believe that Texas, Michigan, and Notre Dame, they're going to get that same support no matter who that coach is. I mean, Rich Rodriguez, you know, when he coached Michigan, go blue, we had walk-ons out there playing quarterback, and that thing was sold out, you know. So I just really do believe certain programs is that you don't always have to have that icon name. You know, that's fine. He's going to have a statue. But, I mean, Texas football is not mediocre, and they've been mediocre. So I think he will get things going better this year. But like you said, TCU, that Big 12, the way it's looking, It's going to be tough for them to steamroll through there, especially with Oklahoma dominating them in the Red River Shootout as they've done recently here. All right, so let's move on to our next coach. And, T. Will, we'll start with you, and we'll talk about Al Golden here, the coach of the U, Miami University. Al Golden, you know, shirt and tie guy on the sideline. And I know that's not something that you associate with the U as a shirt and tie coach. But Al Golden is trying to he's trying to get this team through a period of infractions and dealing with the NCAA, you know. So his seat might not be as hot as these other guys, but this is still Miami, T-Wheel, so he better get it done this year.
Correct. And when I think of Miami, I think of one of the most intense alumni basis. You know, you think of the Ray Lewis's and the Michael Irvins and those guys. I just think of, you know, physical, intense alumni, you know, guys who came from that program and with the understanding that the University of Miami is going through some NCAA sanctions and things like that. They're going through some things with the NCAA. It's rough, you know, for Al Golden to step on campus and go 500 his first year and then improve, go 7-5. That's below the standard for Miami. You know, if you're a Hurricane or a Hurricane fan, you expect excellence. You know, just like we talked about Texas, you expect excellence, and they want it now. You know, they don't have time for a down year. You know, Miami's used to being playing in that championship game every year. That's what they did in the past. I mean, year in and year out, you knew the University of Miami had the best talent on the field. You know, they had the guys with the best skill set. They had the guys that were going to talk the most trash, but they were going to back it up. So, you know, for them to go out and, you know, be 13-11, you know, in his first 2 years at the helm, that's kind of unacceptable. But at the same time, they have to understand that is some extenuating circumstances.
Now, I agree about the circumstances, T-Will. But let me ask you this, though. Do you think that Miami made this hire because of Al Golden's image? Like, his image is a high-character guy. And do you think that they said, okay, well, let's hire this guy and get us through this period, and then we'll bring in another coach after we get out of this 2 to 3 year window? Or do you think that this is their guy?
Well, hopefully it's their guy. You know, they made the commitment to him. And to answer your question, you said, do you think they brought him in to clean up his image? Absolutely, 100%. I think they brought him in because he was a shirt and tie guy. He looked like he did things the right way. The way he goes about his business on the field, you know, I think he's perceived as a guy who does everything the right way. And that's what the University of Miami needed. They needed to clean up their image, you know, when it came to that football program. Because when you think of University of Miami, you think their football program, you think Luke Skywalker, you think players getting in trouble, you know, using drugs, going to the club, things like that. So they were eager to clean up the reputation that the football program had.
Yeah, see, so I'll go to you, C. Rush, because I got to be honest. I thought this hire from the start was just someone to come in and just clean this thing up and then get right back to playing the U. Do you agree? Do you think that he's their guy, or do you think he's more of the janitor, so to speak?
I believe he's more so the janitor, like quality control. No disrespect to Al Golden, but they to go from Temple to Miami is a huge jump. Not to discredit Temple, but I believe at the time they were just playing in the MAC. So, you know, it's an image thing. Like, I'm used to Miami in that 88 game when they came off the plane in army fatigues. That's the Miami that I'm used to. I'm used to the Miami with when Frank Gore, Ken Dorsey, Andre Johnson, Ed Reed, all those guys, they had a swagger about them, you know. And the one thing that's tough for him to do is to walk into those Miami living rooms and get those players. Now, I went to school in South Florida, well, in Florida. And I know for a fact that it's like the mecca of football in a sense with speed. Speed, intensity. A lot of players come from that region, and you can't let those players leave. You can't be in close games with Boston College. So I don't think that he's a terrible coach. I just think that he's the right coach right now. You know, they can say whatever they want about he's our guy, he's this, he's that. No, it's the safest thing for him to do because it's the total opposite of what they had before. You know, even with Randy Shannon, Larry Coker, all those guys, it was a lot of other stuff going on with the sanctions, but they still tried to keep a quality product on the field. They always had that Miami swagger about them. And, you know, now when you turn on a game, it's not the same. And because I'm a Florida fan, Florida football fan, I hope he does bring it back, but I just don't think he is the guy that they chose to go get for the longevity. I thought he's the guy just for right now.
Well, see, Rush, I'll put you on a hot seat right now. Is this his last year?
No, this is not his last year.
You don't think it's last year?
I believe it's not his last year because, for one, I believe they'll be better. You know, that's just what my gut feeling is telling me. In a watered-down ACC where the cream of the crop is basically Florida State and Clemson. So they have to obviously do better against those teams. But I believe they'll be better than what they were last year.
T. Will, before we move on, I gotta put you on that same seat, man. Is this Al Golden's last year?
No, I don't believe this is Al Golden's last year. Just a few different reasons I don't believe it's Al Golden's last year. I don't think it's his last year, fine, because I think if they did bring him in to clean up to clean up their image, they're not done with him. I think if anything, they'll give him another 2 years, and then once they get back to where they're done with these sanctions and things like that, then they'll reach out to someone that they can they'll look forward to the longevity of.
Yeah, I think I agree with both you guys. He's got to at least, you know, be after Florida State and Clemson. And if he's not there, I think he's gone. But I don't know. I know the alumni of Miami, they want it to be back to the U, because some people are saying that this isn't the U anymore. So I definitely can't wait to see how this one plays out. C-Rush, or we'll get back to you. We'll go to our last coach on the hot seat. And I have no idea, to be honest, why I really like this guy. And I gotta say that. And people ask me all the time, why you like him? He's never really even won anywhere. But see, Rush, I really like Lane Kiffin. And I'll be honest, I don't even know how to answer the question when people say, why do you like him? I have no idea. I really do like Lane Kiffin, but I was shocked. I was shocked after starting number one to drop all the way down like they did, and for him to still keep his job, but he did. See, Rush, talk about Lane Kiffin, please.
I can see some reasons why people like him. He was sleeping by the fax machine down in Tennessee that 1 year during a recruiting process. But he hasn't won. You know, he's a lifelong loser. and that's no knock against him. His dad left him. So, I mean, I don't see the hype around him anymore. You know, he did a year in Oakland. He did 2 years did he even do 2 years in Tennessee? I'm not totally sure, you know, but he goes to a powerhouse. Yes, they had a couple sanctions up against them, but it's still USC. You know, you come into the season number one and you have Matt Barkley. You have all these guys who are NFL bound, and you find a way to just finish middle of the road Pac-12. I'm sorry. You know, he's definitely on a hot seat. You know, his seat should have been high last year, but I don't know. He's a weird one to get because he talks a great game. If you listen to him talk, you'd think he was the John Wooden of football. Listen to him talk, but he got to get it done actually with some players now.
T. Will, I mean, another situation, T. I mean, even if you look at this recruiting class prior to this year, I mean, it's blue chip after blue chip. And these guys finish in middle of the road, but I know Lane Kiffin hasn't won. I still love the guy. But tell us about Lane Kiffin, T. Will.
Well, to be honest with you, fine, I think some coaches just aren't head coaches. You know, I think Lane Kiffin, I think he was a phenomenal coordinator. I think he got the job done, you know, in 05 and 06, you know, as the offensive coordinator at USC, took those guys to two Rose Bowls, you know, under Pete Carroll. I think he's a great coordinator. Some guys just aren't meant to be head coaches, and I think this is just one of those situations. You know, he didn't get it done in Oakland. I mean, he was terrible. He won 5 games in 2 seasons in the NFL and didn't even finish the whole second year. So, I mean, and at USC, to enter the season number one, okay, it's one thing to have sanctions against you or has to, once you, you know, messed up and you know, have some NCAA violations. But when you have all the pieces that Lane Kiffin had, he entered the season at number one. When you have all the pieces and you still don't get it done, I mean, you look at a school like Ohio State this year, to me, they didn't have all the pieces, but they, you know, they were banned from postseason play. They got it done. They had a perfect regular season. So, for USC to be put in that position and just Lane Kiffin in general and the recruiting violations that he's done, I mean, that he's had against him, and, you know, it's just been a long road. I think he needs to settle in as a coordinator, you know, find his fit, you know, and just kind of embrace that thing, you know, and kind of, you know, take a step back from this head coaching role.
Now, T, well, I know you follow a lot of college football, and I know it's all the way out in California, but T, Will, like you said, that drop-off was unbelievable. And it wasn't like they were overrated. I mean, if you look at this team, you go, phew! As soon as Matt Barkley said that he's coming back, you know, everybody said, oh, yeah, this is the number one team coming into the year, without a doubt. I'm just going to ask you a simple question. What happened?
Well, fine, that's a great question. Well, Matt Barkley, he did get injured, but that was later in the year. But his team just didn't perform fine, you know. And as a head coach, I don't know how he got his team ready, how he game planned, how he scouted and things like that. But they just weren't ready to play. You know, they went out there against certain teams fine, and they lost to certain teams that it was just unacceptable. You know, for to have that talent on the roster and to lose to a certain team, especially in conference, it was just unacceptable. And when you don't prepare your team like they're supposed to, if you fall into the hype, you know, that you're number one and really don't focus on preparing, I mean, this type of thing happens to you. You roll out in 7-6 season.
Yeah, I think that in college football, we all kind of cheer for our team, but I think we all have a team that we really like and we secretly cheer for it. And mine is USC. When Matt Barkley said he was coming back, I'm saying yes. When Silas Red said, hey, I don't have to sit out, I'm coming over, I said, man, they went in the championship this year. I just don't understand it. And T. Will, you said it perfectly. They didn't perform. I watch a lot of USC football games, T. Will and C. Rush. They didn't perform. You hit the nail right on the head. They just didn't play well. Point blank, plain and simple. They got a good offensive line, a great running back in Silas Red, a great quarterback in Matt Barkley, and all those wide receivers, Lee and the tight ends and all that stuff, and you can't even score, and then you can't stop anyone. So, I mean, it's just a disaster. You know, your father has to walk away because it's a disaster. I think it's getting out of control. But real quick before we move on, C. Rush, is this my boy's last year, man?
Sad to say, this might be his last hurrah, because I don't. You come, he got to break in a new quarterback again, and you just don't know what's gonna happen. So I'm gonna just go on a limb and just say this is last year.
Yeah, T. Will. I mean, one or two things gonna happen, T. Will. Here, you can look at it one or two ways. You can say, well, Lane Kiffin didn't win with a team last year, so how he gonna win a team that's not as good this year? Maybe the pressure got to the guys, T. Will. Or do you just think that, hey, if he didn't win with that team last year, there's no way they're getting it done this year?
I just don't think he's going to get it done this year. And I think this will be his last season. And it might be his last season as a head coach in major college football. I don't know.
Yeah, he's still in his 30s, if I'm not mistaken. So, T. Will, you may be right. Maybe he got to get up under somebody's wing or something like that. Maybe join Pete Carroll out in Seattle before he comes back, because – like you said, T. Will, some people got that charisma and some people got that charm, man. So he'll get a job. That's one thing. And I just think you're right, T. Will. I think he could just talk his way out of a parking ticket, so to speak. I just think he's that guy. And I think he will get a job, because you, like you said, T. Will, 2-5 wins and the Oakland Raiders. And then he goes get a Tennessee job. Doesn't win more than 7 games. Go to USC. it's like, wow, this guy's moving up like he's winning championship after championship. But I love the guy. I'm sorry. I'm biased. I do. I'm sorry. I like Lane Kiffin. But he's going to win one of these days, man. He's going to win one of these days. So all right, let's get on to and let's start with T. Will on this one. T. Let's just talk about college football. Obviously, the polls have not came out yet, but we all follow it very closely. We know who's going to be where. We know what teams are going to be strong. So who should we look out for this year, T. Will?
Well, the polls don't have to fall for me. I mean, football is football, especially college. And if you come out and put anybody at the top outside of Alabama, something's wrong. Alabama needs to be at the top. I think we have to take a look at what Ohio State did last year. Ohio State, you know, had an undefeated season. Of course, they had some sanctions, due to the previous regime. But I think Ohio State had a great showing. They ran through the Big Ten last year like it was no one's business. So I think you have to look out for those guys. The Johnny Manziel, I mean, he's out there. Texas A&M, you know, Texas A&M, they'll be up there. I think they'll be ranked in the top five when the polls drop. And I, a couple teams I think guys have to look out for, Fon, is Louisville and Stanford. And the reason I say Stanford is because, like, a lot of people may say, well, you know what? Stanford is a team that, you know, is usually competitive and they're up there every year. But I think the one thing that Stanford didn't get over may have been that Oregon game. And excuse me, they did get over the hump in the Oregon game. But I think this season with Oregon having that new coach in the booth, which is the new head coach taking over for Chip Kelly, I think the Oregon staff puts together a great game plan and beats Oregon and now goes on to not a Rose Bowl, but to play for a national championship this year, guys. I think they shock a lot of people.
Yeah. So since you, before I go to UC Rush, since you did bring up Louisville, I want to discuss Louisville a little bit right now, because I know people are going to think I'm crazy when I say this. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm picking Louisville, actually, T. Will, to go undefeated. They got Teddy Bridgewater coming back. He is going to have a fabulous year. And then when somebody hears the word undefeated, they go, whoa, watch out. But real quick, I just want to read you the schedule. They're playing Ohio Bobcats, Eastern Kentucky, Kentucky, FIU, Temple, Rutgers, UCF, USF, Connecticut, Houston Cougars, Memphis, and then Cincinnati Bearcats. And I look at this schedule. Same thing I said. I look at this schedule and I say, man, maybe the Cincinnati Bearcats are in the top 50. But I tell you what, I don't see them losing a game this year. I just don't see it. So I just wanted to hit that real quick about Louisville because T. Will brought it up. But C. Rush, what you got for us on the teams to look out for?
Obviously, Alabama's coming in number one like they happen every year. That school in Ohio, they're going to have a great year. They got Braxton Miller back, you know. So they went undefeated last year. Now he's able to bring in recruits, actually, so I expect him to be better. I don't know how you can be better than undefeated. So I think they'll come in top two, obviously number two. Another team I believe is going to be pretty good this year is Georgia. Aaron Murray came back for his senior year. Now, I know Mark Richt has always had the pieces, but I really think this year he's going to have enough to put it together and actually make it to that SEC championship game, you know. And actually, they actually had a shot to beat Bama last year. They were one pass away. So I think that his team gets better as the season goes along. I just don't think that they'll stumble at the beginning of the year like they usually do. So I think it'll be a good matchup between those two teams. Another team who I think can have an undefeated team, undefeated season this year is TCU. You know, we already talked about how Texas is taking steps back. I believe that TCU is the best team in that state, and I believe that TCU is the best team in that conference. You know, I know Bob Stoops gets it done, but lately it's not as convincing as it should be, because Bob Stoops will lose a game. He'll lose one game out of that he shouldn't lose, and I think TCU can beat them. I know TCU has a challenge first game of the year against LSU, so that's going to be a breaking point in their season early as it is. If they beat LSU, I expect TCU to go undefeated.
So let me throw this. Now, I'm actually shocked by this one. And I want to, I'm going to ask you guys both this question, but see, Rush, I'll keep it with you first. Now, nobody talked about Oregon. And the reason why I bring that up is, are we not talking about Oregon because Chip Kelly isn't there? Or do you not know what the new coach is going to do? See, Rush, why in your top teams did you not bring up Oregon?
Combination of that. They're losing Chip, who obviously is, he was the innovator of that offense when they had the previous coach. So that's why he got promoted to that position. So I'm not sure what the assistants are going to do. I know Chip was very hands-on with that team. So he, his thumbprint is all over that. So I'm not sure if his guys are going to keep that same thing up, even though they do have the talent. It's just that when you lose, like, for example, the Saints losing Sean Payton, who did everything for them, they took steps back, you know. So taking Chip Kelly away does a lot for them. You know, he was the play caller. He was the general. So I think that's my main reasoning for keeping Oregon out.
T. Will, I mean, I got to throw this to you. See, Rush said you look at the Sean Payton situation. I would argue that and actually say there's more parity in the NFL. Sometimes in college football, T. Will, as you know, when one team is just better, they're going to win. It doesn't matter if my wife is coaching the team. So, T. Will, why didn't you talk about Oregon?
Well, the reason I speak on Oregon is because, to me, it's a lot of unknown variables there. I don't know if he's going to keep doing the same thing Chip Kelly was doing. I don't know if he's going to change some things because the smallest minute detail can change a lot. You know, whether we're talking tempo, personnel, whatever the case may be. You know, he may run a whole new defensive scheme. Whatever the case may be, it's just too many unknown variables for me to say that that's going to be a top team in the country this year. Now, if they come out and do some of the same things and continue with the same philosophy, then, of course, Oregon's going to be there. You know, Oregon's going to be one of the top teams. But I just think at this point in time right now in the season, I just don't know enough about them to say that they're going to be one of the top programs in the country.
See, well, you bring up an excellent point. You see guys learn under great coaches all the time and then get another job and do something totally different. It's like, dude, you just learned under one of the best coaches and you're like, hey, I've been working on this notebook for the last 10 years. I'm doing my thing. So, I mean, but you see that all the time. And you, as a coach, you do want to be yourself. But also, I think you want to use a little bit of common sense. If you got the same type of players, the same style, you were on that staff. So guess what? I'm going to be Chip Kelly Jr. That's what I'm going to be if I'm him. So like you said, T, those small details, those attention to detail, one little thing can throw it off. But I'm very interested to see that. But I want to talk about my two teams here for a second is Alabama, obviously. I think they're really good. And I got to agree. And I shouldn't say hate, but I don't like saying this. But that team in Ohio as well, I mean, they didn't lose much. Great recruiting class. Braxton Miller will be a Heisman candidate. That's pretty scary. But T. Will, I'll throw this to you real quick. We know Alabama on paper, and they got a great coach. They got the best team. But the SEC, T. Will, is super tough. Now, do you think that they can make it through with just one loss in the SEC or go undefeated to get back to that championship game?
I believe they can do it. If anybody can do it fine, it's Alabama. You know, they just have studs, man. I mean, it just studs after studs. I remember me and you, we were talking about the national championship game together on TV last year. Everybody that came up and made a play was like a sophomore or a freshman. It was ridiculous. So they have young talent that's coming back, and now, you know, with the off season under their belt and things like that, I mean, they're going to be even better. So, yes, and to those other teams, you know, the Georgias, the Floridas, you know, they'll get pushed, they'll get tested in the SEC, because that's what the SEC is all about. You know, your LSUs and you got some fresh blood down in Arkansas this year. So, it's going to be the SEC. is always interesting, but the one thing Alabama can do, if no other team can, they can roll through that thing with a maximum of one loss or, you know, undefeated.
Yeah, see, Rush, real quick before we move on, do you think they run the table, man? Because like I said, man, that SEC is tough. Texas A&M actually got them last year, and I mean, do you think they get back to this title game? This is a tough conference, see, Rush.
It's tough because they have to go to College Station this year, you know, and it's going to be very tough. But one thing they have is A.J. McCarron. is he a senior this year or a junior? I'm not totally sure, but he's going on his third ring. That's what he's doing. He's been there. So when you got that guy at quarterback, you have all the confidence in the world. Then you got Nick Saban on the sideline. I just believe that the max is one loss, in my opinion. And that may not be until, you know, the SEC championship game, because they've been there before. They were young. All they do is reload, reload, reload. When you're at practice going against Eddie Lacy, you're at practice going against Richardson, you're at practice going against Ingram as a freshman, by the time you're a junior, it's easy to you.
Yeah, I agree. Alabama's great on paper, but as we know, a couple losses can keep you out. And college football is weird. You know, it's all about when you lose. But I will say this. Alabama will get that benefit of the doubt, guys, if they get one loss. Because some people get that one loss and they're done. But if Alabama loses to a top five team or another top 10 team, they'll keep them right up there. So it's going to be tough. But I tell you what, if I was another team, I would be hoping somebody knocked them off so we didn't have to play them in the championship game. Because, like I said, looking at the schedule, guys, and, you know, I know it's a far long way from here, but I'm looking at Louisville's schedule. They'll come in ranked in the top 15, and I just don't see them losing a game. So we'll see. Obviously, you have to play the games. This is going to be real interesting, but we'll see. I love college football and glad it's very near. So, okay, we are at that halfway point. So let's jump into the freestyle. See, Russ, sure. You up to bat first, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, and no stats on my ENT wheel. No preparing. We rolling with it. Best fight win. Let's go.
That's all I asked for.
So let's go. Here we go. Right off the back. See, Rush. Urban Meyer allegedly turned in Florida for recruiting violation. Thumbs up if you like this or thumbs down. Get a life.
Thumbs down. Why are you worried about the next man business? You know, that's just, you know, it's just, in my opinion, it's just backhanded and dirty. You know, obviously you left Florida for a certain reason and there was smoke there. So just shut up and worry about your own team. You know, don't worry about what the next man doing, whether it's right or wrong. Let the NCAA worry about that. You know, you snitching. I mean, it's a code to do everything, you know, and what he reported really was nothing. So you're just causing a stir, just being a jerk, basically. So
T Will, thumbs up, thumbs down. Urban Meyer, you like him turning people in, playing a good cop guy?
Well, hey. I'm gonna have to roll with Urban. First off, man, big shout out to my guy, the CEO, man. You know, good people, definitely here for this freestyle round. My thing is, man, listen, whether we coach together, whether I used to coach there or not, we've moved on. So my thing is, hey, if we're going after the same kid, anything goes, you know, and he may have a leg up on those coaches from Florida because the guy he turned in, guess what? He hired him. You know, Urban Meyer hired that guy. So at the end of the day, it is, you know, he's changed. You know, he left with health problems when he was at Florida. He started back over. Now he's at Ohio State. He has a fresh start. And I'm pretty sure that's not the only thing that he started over with in his life. You know, he's probably doing a lot of things different. And, hey, you know, if letting the NCAA know when people are doing things they're not supposed to do, that's one of the things he's doing. Hey, I'm with them. That's the rules. They're breaking the rules.
First of all, T. Will, thank you. I appreciate that. The freestyle round, we get Wilson Rush Podcast got our first sponsorship today, and our freestyle round is sponsored by the Chris L. Davis Sports Agency, helping agents all across the world building and helping their brand. Sorry about that. Thanks, T. Will. I appreciate that. But I have to go and agree with C. Rush, though, and say thumbs down. All the stuff that he caused there, and now and I think C. Rush brings up a good point. All that stuff you caused there, and now you're telling on him. I think that's kind of weird. So I agree with that argument, C. Rush. I got to agree, thumbs down on that one. That's kind of bizarre. So, T. Will, we'll bounce this one to you. Now, let's talk about Andre Kirilenko here in this question. Now, GMs around the league, T-Will, was trying to get Andre Kirilenko, and they said, hey, man, this guy's worth about $8 to $10 million. the Russian owner for the Brooklyn Nets signed him for 3.1. So thumbs up, T, if you think this was a legitimate, no funny business happening, thumbs up, or thumbs down if you think he put a little extra change in his Russian account.
Come on now, thumbs down. Now, we all know it's not legit. None of us have proof that it's not legit, but we all know it's not legit. You know, he goes sign, what, 2 years, $3.1 million? I think our Metal War of Peace just signed for more than that. He signed for like 2 years, $3.2 million. And we know that that's really what he's getting. But so, no, I mean, we all know it's funny business to this. I mean, yeah, we can't prove it, you know. But hey, you know, it is what it is. It's the NBA, you know. Two Russians, they want to get together. Hey, that's their thing. But no, thumbs down, heck no.
See, Rush, T. Will is not buying this. He's not buying it. So you thumbs up or thumbs down with this Karolinko signing?
I told y'all this a couple podcasts ago that this was going to happen. Thumbs up. Of course, they're from the homeland. You know, they can go back and kick it in the homeland. Now, monetary value, no. I mean, he may let him stay at his pool house or something, but I don't believe there's any backhandedness going on. They're from the same country. He probably admired Karolinko for playing for the national team and knowing him growing up. A lot of the hockey players are going home and playing for their home teams. They may be making less money over there. So he's just going to play for somebody who he's familiar with, who he probably knows from a previous engagement. So if you're playing for somebody that you know, maybe they're friends. I'm not sure. But it's like it's familiarity to there, you know. So I'm going to say thumbs up.
See, Rush, that's a good fight. But you said those hockey players went to go to Russia to play. He's still in America. So I just can't believe that you left all that money on a table to make 3.1. This guy can still play. I got to agree with T-Will on this one. Thumbs down. He got a little extra change in there, man. I mean, he's doing more than staying at his pool house, man. But that was a good fight, though. But so let's go into our last one. And like I said, like you guys both said this, I believe, Metal World Peace just signed with the Knicks. So see, Rush, thumbs up if he actually helps them, or thumbs down, or if it's just another old guy the Knicks are signing.
I'm going to go thumbs up with Metal World Peace. He's not the premier defender that he used to be, but he can defend better than Carmelo Anthony. When it's time at end, he can defend better than Jr. Smith. He goes to that team and is basically the defensive stopper even later in his career. You know, that was the problem with those guys. Other than in the paint with Tyson Chandler, they had nobody defending on the perimeter. Jason Kidd, J.R. Smith, Carmelo Anthony. Nobody could check anybody out there. So bringing him in, it may not do anything offensively, but you know what it's going to do? It may create a defensive mindset at some point, you know. So it'll just make them better defensively, and Tyson Chandler won't be out there by himself.
T-Will, C-Rush likes it. What do you think about this signing? Because at first he said, hey, I'm not playing in the NBA. That's not an option. 2 days later, he signed a contract. So what do you think?
I had to go the other way with this one, Fine. I mean, my thing is this. For one, he's from New York. You know, he went back home. The Knicks know that, look you know, we're going to bring him home. They're not banking on having him go out there and stop anybody. Metal World Peace, Ron Artest, whatever my man name is, when the last time has he really, like, stopped somebody? I mean, he'll frustrate you. He'll frustrate you, get on your nerves. But at the end of the day, he's really not a defensive stopper. And then you're definitely not signing him for his jump shot. So, I mean, why are you signing him? It's a hometown deal. You know, he's from New York. You know, things like that. I think that's why that franchise signed him. And that's it. If they signed him because they think he's going to go out and stop LeBron, then something's wrong with them guys. No.
Ah, you guys are killing me on this one. Man, this is a tough one. Man, you guys got me over here tossing a coin. I'm a defensive coach. I don't think he can stop LeBron. I don't think anybody can, T-Will. But I got to say, that team was horrible defensively. And I do think he can help them defensively a tad. I gotta go with C-Rush, and I got to go thumbs up on that one. I think he helps them defensively. They got off real cheap. Congratulations, C-Rush.
Hey, 7 Mile. 7 Mile. Hey, I didn't talk through yours, so 7 Mile. you know, hashtag FAMU, all that.
Y'all so silly, man. Y'all are silly. All right, another freestyle down. All right, so let's get into the second half of our show. And T-Will, we'll start with you. Let's talk about Johnny Football. As we said, I mean, he won the Heisman, T-Will. He had a great year. He's been in the media a lot. And he's young, no, T-Will. He's young. So I don't know if he's his youth is messing with him here or he's just making bad decisions. But, you know, talk about how you feel about Johnny Football, T-Will.
Well, right off the back, on the field, I think he's a tremendous player. I currently have went through every snap offensively that he's taken this past season. I went through it on cut-ups. I've dissected him. He's a really good quarterback that still has room to grow. There's still a lot of things that he needs to work on. But I think he's an amazing talent. I think the way that he's progressing, I think he will be considered some type of franchise quarterback one day. Off the field, I think he's just being immature. You know, being down in College Station, being down at Texas A&M University, think about that, guys. There hasn't been a lot of success down there. There hasn't been a lot of attention down there, okay? So when he steps on the scene and he wins a Heisman Trophy and he goes down into Tuscaloosa and beats a Alabama, you know, these are things that they aren't used to down there. So that attention that he draws is something that's unusual. So I just really think that, you know, he's been immature. Some of the things that he put on Twitter and then taking back off real fast and things like that. And some of the stuff that he's saying, he's just showing his immaturity. And I hope that this young man can take some of those mistakes that he's made early on in his college career and he can learn from them. You know, and that's the best thing you can do from your mistakes is learn from them, especially when you're in a spotlight, you know, a 19, 20-year-old young man like Johnny Manziel that has a bright future. That has a bright future. So I'm hoping, fine, that he makes it and he learns from his mistakes. But right now, he has to grow up. He's still a kid. He's still a kid in his mind.
Yeah, he is. He is young. And I think that's, to be honest, I just think that's the problem. But, T-Will, let me ask you this, because I know a lot about quarterbacks. And like you said, you saw every snap. But here's my thing, T-Will, more from a fan perspective. Guys, when their stock can't go any higher, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think his stock can go any higher. The way he played, he won the Heisman, like you said, beat Alabama. So, T-Will, I don't think his stock can go any higher. When guys come back, obviously he had no choice because of the rules to come back, so he came back. But his stock can't go any higher, T-Will. So I always see that being a disaster. So how do you think, when this year's said and done, do you think we would say, man, that's a shame because his stock was so high? Or do you disagree and you think he actually can improve his stock?
No, I don't think his stock can go any higher. I mean, if he goes out and wins a Heisman Trophy this year, fine. I still don't think his stock can go any higher. I think he'll be, you know, the top quarterback prospect coming out. And that's the way it's going to be, guys. My thing is this right here with Johnny Manziel. You usually don't encounter a quarterback that has this amount of success so young. Right. So that's why I think he's in a unique situation. Usually when a quarterback has this much success, fine, he's usually coming out the following year because he's eligible. He's right. Eligible to come out, you know, due to the rules. Johnny Manziel's experienced this success so early on, he's not even eligible to come out yet. So now you're talking about, you know, containing all the success within the within this glass bottle, you know, with this cork on the end. It's about to explode. This bottle is about to explode. So I think he needs to go ahead and just try to focus on what he needs to do on the field this season. You know, try to stay out of the media and move forward to the NFL, you know, barring injury or anything.
I just feel bad for players like this. I just really do. When their stock can't go any higher, when they have a rough offseason, soon as they have a bad game, oh my goodness, he is going to get killed in the media. He's going to get killed in Texas. They are going to rip him apart in the media. They are going to rip him apart. So C. Rush, I gotta throw this to you. I mean, how do you feel about Johnny Football?
I mean, I love the way that he plays the game of football. You know, he's fearless. He can't be tackled. He doesn't quit. The other thing is that, like you both said, he's a college student. You know, It's only in certain cases when somebody has that much success so young, so early in life. I mean, what else would you expect them to do? Everybody can't be Tim Tebow, you know, winning the Heisman that young and saying, hey, I'm humble and, you know, and win another one. Well, almost win another one, win another national championship. Everybody can't be what people want them to be. He can only be who he is right now. And we've all been in college. We've all had to grow up. But ours, everybody wasn't on this platform. Like T. Will said, only thing that I know that happened in College Station is 12th man, they do some push-ups, and they wear maroon. You know, they haven't always been a football powerhouse, so now you're putting this school on your back and putting them on a national stage. You're going to be on the national stage. So everything he do is under a microscope. Just like at the Manning camp, he had to leave early. You know, no matter what the case may be, why he left, but we're hearing about it. So everything he does is going to get blown out of proportion, whether it's good or bad. You know, if he's on social media sites posting stuff, I mean, it's NFL players doing the same thing and pulling it right back down. No matter what it's about, it's still being done. So I just think that let the kid mature. Let him become a man. It's a maturation process that happens on the field and off the field. But I know when he's on the field, I would love to have him as my quarterback.
Now T. Will, I know you worked with college athletes and high school athletes. So the mindset that you can just clearly, just by one-on-one meetings, you can see the difference. Now T. Will, do you think that just someone at this age, just it's impossible for them to mentally handle all this attention?
It can be, but there are some strong-minded young men. There are some strong-minded young men. I mean, I think with this amount of success at this age, Fon, that we spoke on, usually you have some type of outlet. Think about this. Think about all the success LeBron had his senior year in high school. Think about if he had to play high school one more year. Would he have been able to handle all of that success? Because it was so much hype around him coming out. You know, the only outlet he had was to go to the NBA. You know, and it's like I said, it's like being in this bottle with a cork in it, Fon, where he can't go anywhere because he has to go back to school. There is no outlet for him. You know, so yes, I mean, there are players, Fon, who isn't mature enough to handle this much success. And realistically, Fon, at this point, if you don't have that, if you're not prepared for it at this point in life, Fon, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to go through it, you know, if you just have to learn trial by fire, because you're going to make some mistakes, and every mistake that you make is going to be, you know, under the microscope.
See, Will, that's why I asked you, and it's funny that you bring up LeBron, is because I was actually reading that it wasn't the pressure, but the pressure and the hype, I guess a combination of them both, he actually turned to marijuana, he admits, in high school because all of the love and everything that his teammates were getting. And that's why I look at Johnny Football. Obviously, he's a little bit older, but I agree 100%. Success came too early, and now he's under a spotlight 24/7. And like you said, you tweet something out, you pull it back. But Twitter is a funny thing with celebrities and athletes. It's amazing the things that they can't say. But if you look at their mentions, the things that are said to them, and nobody has to apologize for, the swear words, the racial words. People are creating accounts just to go at them so no one know who it is. I mean, this is ridiculous. That's why when people say, oh, this athlete tweeted this. And it's like, dude, look at his mentions. Look at her mentions. It's unbelievable the things that are said to them, but they have to apologize about what they say. That's just beyond me. But that's a whole different topic. See, Rush, I know you play a little QB back in your day. You wanna get back in there on Johnny Football before we move on?
Oh no, I'm fine. We all said everything that needed to be said.
Yeah, I just think he's gotta pull it together and he's gotta play well because they're gonna rip him apart if he does not. So our last topic of the day is we want to start with the NFL. Okay, we want to get into the NFL. And like I said, you know, when you're the new head coach at college, you know, you usually automatically at least get two years. Most schools you get three to try to build it. The NFL, you better get it done, or you'll be gone as well. So T. Will, let's start with you, and let's talk about the impact of the new sideline boss with the Buffalo Bills. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, I think Buffalo got a steal in Doug Marrone. You know, great guy. Met him personally when he was the head coach over at Syracuse University. One of my former players was playing for him, and I had a chance to sit down with him and his staff. And, you know, he's an offensive guy. You know, he spent some time in the NFL with the New Orleans Saints as a coach, and he also played the NFL. But what the Buffalo Bills are getting, they're getting a few guys, you know, with offensive mind, with Nate Hackett as the offensive coordinator. You know, his father was one of the inventors of the West Coast offense with Walsh, you know, back in the day. And you know, Tyrone Wheatley. Those guys are coming from Syracuse University. Tyrone Wheatley's coaching the running backs. Nate Hackett's gonna be with the quarterbacks and offensive coordinator, and Doug Marrone's gonna be with the quarterback. So I think when they went out and drafted an EJ Manuel from Florida State, I think that's gonna be their future at that position. So for all those Buffalo Bill fans out there, I think the future's bright in Buffalo. You know, they had a great draft at the running back position. They have C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. Tyrone Wheatley actually said they're going to run two different offenses because there are two different types of runners. So, you know, at the NFL level, the professional level, you can do those things. You know, their defense is pretty solid up front. You know, they have Manny Lawson in that front seven, Marcel Darius. So I really like Buffalo. I think it'll be a few years before they start competing for that AFC East championship. But I think it's going to be some exciting things over there in Buffalo.
Yeah, T. Well, I think from a coach's standpoint and an analytical standpoint, I mean, you really told the fans a lot about the Buffalo Bills, and they made a great hire. But if I was a Buffalo Bill fan, I'll ask you straight up. I mean, that's nice, but are we in the playoffs this year?
Maybe not this year, but I think within the next 2 years, you can definitely look for the Buffalo Bills to make a playoff push. They're solid on the defensive side of the ball. I think they have some young guys on the offensive side, especially bringing EJ Manuel in. But the running game is solid. The running game is going to be solid, and they have defense in the running game. They have the ingredients to make the playoffs. I just think it's going to take them about a year to get it going.
All right, let's go to C. Rush. C. Rush, tell us about the Chiefs and their new sideline boss.
Well, it's not like we haven't seen this guy before. It's Coach Andy Reid, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles. I believe that he knows what it takes to win. He's not going to a team that has a depleted roster. And it's so much parity in NFL. You can go from worst to first overnight. And it may just take maybe a quarterback, maybe a couple free agency pickups, maybe drafting well. You can change your whole team in the NFL. So bringing in Alex Smith, already having Jamal Charles, locking up Dwayne Bowe, And that offense is set. You got a change of pace guy coming out the backfield, and McCluster. You know, they're looking pretty good. You know, and they also have the other receiver that they drafted a couple years ago from Pittsburgh. If he gets his head on straight, that could be a nice 1-2 punch. And we know that Andy Reid knows how to score. We know that he's going to make Jamal Charles' game that much better. So I'm expecting a great year out of Jamal Charles. Maybe over 1,000 yards rushing. Maybe in the 40 to 50 yard receiving out the backfield, because Andy Reid likes to do that, you know. And let's see if he can get Alex Smith to keep up what he did in San Francisco, to understand why they traded for him. So I believe that Andy Reid will come in and do a great job. You know, the Chiefs are taking a lot of steps forward, to whereas the Chargers are taking steps back. Denver's going to stay pat, you know, so you don't know what – I don't know what Oakland's doing. So I believe that they can compete in that division.
Well, Oakland's not doing anything. I'll answer that question for you. But let's talk about Alex Smith a little bit more, not C. Rush. Colin Kaepernick, I mean, he basically went in and, you know, a lot of coaches say, hey, you don't lose your position because of injury. Well, he lost his position to injury. Colin Kaepernick took that away from him. But hey, Alex Smith, he got it done when he was in San Francisco, C. Rush. So we can't deny that. But let me ask you this. Is he the answer to get them over this hump in Kansas City?
Well, that's yet to be said. I believe that that he has all the tools, and I believe with the confidence that he got last year and the chip on his shoulder that he's going to play with this year, I believe that he's going to put them over the top offensively. I believe their offense is going to be very good this year, especially when you have a coach with an offensive mind in Andy Reid. That's his forte. He knows how to put the ball in the end zone. And you know what? He's done it with Mike Vick. He's done it with Donovan McNabb for years. So he knows what he's doing. So if Alex Smith buys into it, the only thing I don't like is Alex Smith is going from another offense coordinator to another offense coordinator to another offense coordinator. You know, he's been doing that his whole career. So when he has stability with Jim Harbaugh, he flourished. You know, so if he just interprets this playbook, he's going to flourish.
Right. So I'm a Chiefs fan here. I got on my Dwayne Bowe jersey and I got on my fitted cap and I'm walking around the mall and I say, "See, Rush, we going to the playoffs? What you saying?"
No.
Okay.
No. They will. I won't say they'll miss the playoffs for that much. I believe they'll finish second in that division, and they may just be a tiebreaker out. I believe they'll be plus 500 though.
Yeah, I got to say this. I think that we just got to see how Alex Smith does, because we know what Charles can do. We know what Bo can do in those options. So I agree. I think that we just got to see how Alex Smith plays, and that's the thing, coordinator to coordinator. We don't know yet. But T-Will, let's go back to you on this one, and let's talk about the sideline boss taking over in the Cardinals.
Well, you know what, Fine? You know, Bruce Arians, he's an interesting coach, you know, leaving the Colts organization, coming from Indianapolis, you know, as he stepped in and he was the interim head coach as Chuck Pagan, you know, battled, you know, his bout with cancer. So he actually came out and won Coach of the Year. So the Cardinals, you know, they're getting a great football mind, and Bruce Arians was a great football coach before he got all his notoriety last season. You know, he's been through the coaching ranks and things like that. So also, with the Cardinals, I mean, with Larry Fitzgerald having his worst year, you know, they go out and get a Carson Palmer. You know, they haven't had a consistent quarterback in years, you know, since Kurt Warner retired. So Carson Palmer, who still has something in the tank, you know, throws a very pretty football. And I think that offense this year is going to pick up. You know, they add the honey badger to their defense over there. So the defense was phenomenal last year. The Cardinals defense played phenomenal, and their offense is going to pick up this year. So I think they're going to put some points up. The only thing that's knocking them down, guys, is they're playing in the toughest division in the NFL. You're talking about the Seattle Seahawks with Russell playing over there. You got the 49ers with Kaepernick, and you got the Rams with Bradford. So you have a tough division in the NFC West. So I think he's just going up against a juggernaut. He has to take advantage of those non-division games and try to, you know, at least split at home. I mean, split those division games. He has to at least win those home games.
Now, T. Will, I'm at the pub with my Larry Fitzgerald shirt on. I just bought from Walmart, just ordered some wings, all drums. And I say, "Hey, we got the Coach of the Year. That's nice, T-Will. But do we make the playoffs?"
They will not make the playoffs this year. But I tell you what, Cardinal fans, you guys are going to put a team out in the field this year that you can definitely be proud of. You know, you guys will fall short of the playoffs, you know, but when you guys fell short of the playoffs last year, you guys are like, "Man, this is terrible. I mean, I don't know what's going on here," you know, but you guys may fall short of the playoffs this year, but you guys will understand that, you know, there's a bright future.
Well, let's bounce it back to C-Rush. Let's talk about the sideline boss and the Bears. And before I throw this to you, they're in our division, so I hope they lose every game. They fired Lovie Smith. I thought it was terrible, so I really hope they lose every game. But C-Rush, go ahead and tell us about the sideline boss for the Bears, please.
Well, as a Lion fan, I hope he doesn't get it done. But Mark Trestman, he's a different – this one, in my lifetime, I've never heard of a coach going from the head – coach of a CFL organization to becoming a head coach of an NFL organization. Now, granted, he has coached for 9 different organizations within the NFL, but it hasn't been since 2005. You know, he's been in the CFL since then, and we all know how the NFL evolves every year. So he's going to be demanded to win now. He's not taking over the Cardinals. He's not taking over the Chiefs. He's not taking over teams below 500. You know, he's taking over a team already established. You know, he's taking over Jay Cutler, Matt Forte. You know, you got Devin Hester on the wing. You have Brandon Marshall. You have Lance Briggs. You know, they did lose Urlacher, but you're not coaching a poor team. So it's going to be a lot on him in this first year. Now, the main transition I want to see is I hope he knows it's four downs instead of three. And I hope he knows the flags are yellow. And just I hope he's able to catch up to this NFL pace. You know, I hope he's able to utilize Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall the way that they should be, you know. And another thing is now Jay Cutler's going to another coordinator. And people don't realize how tough that is. I'm not sure what he's bringing over in his playbook, but now Jay Cutler's went from Denver to Chicago. Even though he was in Lovie Smith offense for 2-3 years, now he has to learn something else. So, and we all know how this guy could be, you know, as a quarterback, as a head case. So he's going to have his work cut out for him. For one, gaining trust in that locker room, and also gaining trust in your starting quarterback.
Right. So, see, Rush, I'm in Chicago. I'm shoveling that snow with my long johns and a Chicago Bears hoodie on, and I see you. I see you creeping down the street real slow because the road's real icy. And I say, "Hey, that's C. Rush from the Wilson Rush podcast. We going to the playoffs this year?"
No. The Bears will not go to the playoffs. I believe that within the division, every team has gotten better, and every team has kept their same coach. So, you know, when you bring a new coach in, even though you have an established team, I just personally don't believe, and as a fan of the Lions, I hope they don't, but no. I see them being middle of the road again, and you know, hopefully he is successful eventually, but he has to figure out, is Jay Cutler his quarterback of the future?
Yeah, well, let's hope they do very bad this year. T-Will, I was accused of, you know, closing it off a little too early last week. So you got something before we get out of here, before I close this thing up?
Nah, you good this week, man. I'm kind of tired now. I'm a little sleepy.
All right. See, Rush, you have a good show, man.
Yeah, I had a good one.
T-Will, you good? You sure?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I just want everybody to know, man, you know, we do this thing, man. We bring it from the driveway to the internet, baby.
Yes, sir. That we do. All right. This was our first, you know, football podcast. So we definitely want to get some football questions. We know we got a lot of football fans out there. And so send us an email and let us know what you thought. Because obviously, when we started doing the podcast, it was basically playoff time in the NBA. So that's what we discussed. So we definitely got to get ready and gear up for some football. So send us some suggestions or whatever you want to do, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. And as usual, we are representing 7 Mile, and we out. DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lip, Vaughn Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 Miles. Rev City, your world. DJ Clips, we the best, the chemist music group.